Hello Moonies, and welcome to episode 5 of the Sailor Moon News Roundup podcast. It's been a very long time since the last episode, about 6 months, and I apologize for that. The reason being, I've done a lot of traveling in that time. I am no longer in Japan, as I think many of you know, you follow me on Twitter and Facebook. And I left Japan in September, end of September, lived for a month in Taipei. I was planning to do some podcast episodes while in Taipei, but just the reality of energy levels and schedule kind of made that a bit hard to fit into my plans. And then after Taipei, I moved back to Australia, and then straight away I've been like traveling back and forth between Sydney and Canberra with family, because I haven't got a place for myself to live yet in Australia, and hopefully I'll get something next week. So I've been all over the place. I've been given a advertising job, which I've just finished up, but that took up about 3 weeks of my time. So it's been very, very crazy for almost half a year. So I apologize for there being zero podcasts in that time. But hopefully you've all been following me on Twitter and Facebook and other social medias. So I've been keeping you up to date through those methods as well. But thank you for sticking with this podcast if you are still subscribed. If you're not, please subscribe. And I promise from now on, I'm going to try and do at least one a week to keep everyone updated on what's happening with Sailor Moon News and also, of course, Sailor Moon Crystal. Now, because I haven't had an episode in 6 months since July, this episode I won't be doing so much news, because I thought it'd be a good chance to reflect on Sailor Moon Crystal, because in the last episode I reflected on episode 1, and now of course we've had the complete first season, or the first story arc of Sailor Moon Crystal, so I think it'd be good to reflect on that. Everyone's been asking me my opinion on what I thought about Sailor Moon Crystal so far, so I'll be doing a bit of reflection on that. And then after that, I'll be answering a lot of questions from you guys too. When I started this podcast, I wasn't really planning to do a lot of questions. I thought questions would be better suited to the Moony Tunes podcast, which I do with Sissin from SailorMoonObsession.com. Everyone's been asking me to do questions, so I thought, what the hell, I'll do some questions on here. And it won't really conflict with Moony Tunes, because that seems to be more of like a monthly podcast, even though we've both been too busy to do a new episode of that in a while too. So I thought what we'll do, we'll just do episodes in both podcasts, and hopefully everyone will be happy and more people will be able to get their questions answered. So, Sailor Moon Crystal, it's been a very interesting experiment, because, as you know, it's been streamed online, and it became very apparent very quickly that after the first episode, or even after watching, the first episode, and then especially episode 2 and 3, the animation quality wasn't as good as we'd all hoped it would be. Thankfully, when the Blu-rays came out, the Japanese Blu-rays, by the way, it's not on Blu-ray yet in the West, when the Japanese Blu-rays came out, we found a lot of the animation had been redone for the Blu-rays. It still wasn't as good as I think had hoped it would be. It looks better, but it really has just been almost traced over and just fixed up and cleaned up a little bit. Nothing too dramatic, to be honest, which is still a bit of a shame, because there are some episodes which I would like to be completely redone. Hopefully now, we got some news last week that the Sailor Moon Crystal anime will now be getting aired on TV in Japan, which is fantastic, because that might mean potential sponsorships, more exposure, so more sales of merchandise in the DVD and CD sales. So hopefully from now on, from the second season onward, or definitely from the third season, if we get that, because it is only confirmed right now for 26 episodes, getting a bigger budget as the series progresses, which means better animation, better quality production, and things like that. So it is a shame that the first half, or the first few episodes, few story arcs of Sailor Moon Crystal aren't as good as we all hoped, but it is going to get better. Having said that, I'm finding the story to be really strong, very, very cool, very well written, very realistic. The dialogue itself, I find a lot more intelligent, less kind of cliche Japanese dialogue. It's actually a lot more realistic, personally, in my opinion. When they announced the writer who was going to come on and do this, I was very excited before Sailor Moon Crystal even aired, because I had seen this series that he'd worked on in the past called Garo, which is kind of like the Power Rangers, but for adults. It has kind of a, it's very, very cool. You should check it out, G-A-R-O. There's a new anime series based on that live-action show out now, too. I actually haven't seen that yet, but track down the original live-action series, Garo, and you will not be disappointed. It's very well-written and very well-acted, too. It's actually a fantastic show. I wish they'd make more and more and more, because, which they are, but I want them to make more. Anyway, so the writing on Sailor Moon Crystal I've been super impressed by. I think it's the best written version of Sailor Moon Crystal we've had. Yes, even compared to the manga, the manga is not perfect. I think the series has improved a lot on the manga. Because the manga has now been finished, they've gone back and tightened up a lot of the plot. In particular, I've been really happy they've tied up a lot of the plot holes regarding the reincarnation. Because as we all know, when the first story arc of the manga was written, Naoko Takeuchi had not planned Starseeds and all those elements of the kind of the truth behind what a Sailor Guardian is that would pop up later on in the series. So in the first story arc in the manga and in the anime too, the reason behind the reincarnation was Queen Serenity using the crystal and sending their souls to the present to live life again. Of course, that didn't make sense because we learn later on in the anime and manga, spoilers, that each Sailor Guardian has like a star seed or a Sailor Crystal, and basically their soul gets reincarnated again and again for eternity, forever, basically. So no matter whenever they die or wherever they die, they will be reincarnated in a future timeline because they are eternal guardians of their planets or their stars. So it didn't make sense that Queen Serenity reincarnated them, and not too many people have picked up on this, but it's been a plot hole that's kind of been bugging me for a while. Sailor Moon Crystal fixed this completely. They completely glossed over their actual reincarnation from the Silver Millennium, the past Moon Kingdom time period. They mentioned they all died, and then they're just reborn in the present. Queen Serenity had nothing to do with it in Sailor Moon Crystal, which is amazing. And they also kind of made a little of an ongoing plot device for Sailor Moon Crystal too. Because Queen Serenity says to them, like, she's obviously aware of the truth of their reincarnation, but she tells them to, like, discover the truth for themselves, or just look, find the meaning behind their reincarnation. They did kind of reflect on this in one of the Season 1 final episodes. They said their reincarnation was so they can live their normal life again in the present, but there's obviously more behind that, and they'll find out about Starseeds in future episodes. There's some great other elements, too, that have been fixed up. The four kings or emperors or whatever you want to call them, they have been given a lot more plot, a lot more characterization in this version of Sailor Moon Crystal. Well, actually, not so much more characterization. I think the original anime gave all the villains a lot more personality. But in general, they gave them a lot more plot in this, and they expanded a lot on what the manga and the musicals have hinted at with the past life relationships with the Inners. And that was great to see, too. Something else that blew my mind was seeing Luna temporarily appear in her human form on the moon in one of the most recent episodes. That was amazing, and that completely makes sense in the logic of the manga too, when basically Luna and Artemis, they share their soul, they share their spirit with Venus and Moon. So when they kind of connect more and they kind of become more powerful as individuals, they have the ability to transform into their human forms. And it totally makes sense that Luna can do this in that particular scene on the moon, which is praying and connecting with Sailor Moon. And a fantastic addition, and I'm really excited now to see how many more plot devices and scenes they add for future episodes, especially with the Black Moon or Negamoon story arc that's coming up next, when we see Visions of the Future and Crystal Tokyo. I'm wondering if we'll see the characters in their super or eternal forms that they should be in the future. Because in the original anime, of course, that was made before they had power-ups, so all the Visions of the Future had them in their regular original costumes. So I'm hoping they do that, because that would be a great addition too. So overall, the writing and even the voice acting, I will say, super, super happy with. Very, very strong. It's just and the music too. The music has grown on me a lot. But it's just a shame that the animation has really dragged the series down to a point where it's really hard to ignore the quality of the animation. More so with the original streaming episodes, but it's still quite apparent too in the Blu-ray releases as well. Which is a shame, because you've got really great voice acting, great dialogue, great plot, and then you have like 10 seconds of zero animation in like an action, what should be an action scene, which is a bit disappointing. But overall, I'm very, very happy with Crystal. I'm glad it's only 2 episodes a month, because honestly, we're so busy now. Like, a lot of the fans were adults, and we have jobs and families, and yeah, it's like, it's good that we have two a month, because it gives us more time to watch them and enjoy them. And even now, I still know a lot of people who still haven't seen the last 6 episodes or so because it's been too busy. It's okay to pace it, guys. Keep it coming. All right, so let's get on to Moony questions. So first I'm going to go through my Twitter feed, and I ask people for questions, basically, for this episode. So make sure you follow me on Twitter if you want to be aware of when a future episode's going to be recorded, and then you can tweet me all the questions to be included. If you tweet me questions, of course, when I'm not about to record an episode, I'll just answer them on Twitter, of course. Yeah, on Twitter I always do a big tweet saying, about to record an episode, give me questions you want answered, and then people tweet me the questions. And I also got some questions here from Facebook as well, on the moonkey.net Facebook page. So I'll be reading a few from both. But first up, from Twitter, this question's from Mel at IdleHell2.0. That's a crazy username. She asks me, is there any Sailor Moon Crystal merchandise that you are very excited for? I guess it's a pretty good question, because there's been so much Sailor Moon Crystal merchandise. Not too much that I'm crazy excited for. I guess I am the Blu-rays. I love the limited edition Blu-ray, Japanese Blu-ray box sets. I think they're fantastic. I love them. I bought the soundtrack recently. Haven't actually listened to it yet because of it mixes music that's going to be in the second story arc, which is kind of spoilers. So, but I have those now. But future merchandise, I guess I'm looking forward to. Actually, I guess the Tamashii Nation's figure arts figures that are coming out. I think they revealed one for Moon and one for Mercury based on the Sailor Moon Crystal character designs. I'm pretty sure that was announced, if memory serves. But those are pretty cool. Excited for those. But everything else, yeah, nothing too much, really. Yeah, I'm kind of just enjoying it. I'm very much a media person, not so much a merchandise person. Okay, this question comes from Violet Light. And she asks me if there's a release schedule for the original 90s Sailor Moon anime for the US iTunes store. So that, I swore for a while they had the original anime up with the subtitles, English subtitles and Japanese audio, on a few streaming services. But yeah, I just checked in, not in the iTunes store yet. I guess they're waiting until both the box sets are released for those released episodes. But again, I don't know, I'm not sure how profitable it would be, because Japanese audio with English sub-only releases on the iTunes may not be profitable as much as they think it will be. But I don't know, but there's been no news about that yet for the iTunes stores. But of course, I will let you guys know when it is up on iTunes. But of course it is now available for on quite a few streaming episodes, mostly Hulu. So check it out there as well. This one's from Wendy Yoakum. Sorry, Wendy Yoakum. And she asks if we think Sailor Moon will be back on US TV. I'm not really, it doesn't really look likely, to be honest. I think the Sailor Moon mainstream fandom has come and gone, simply because most of the companies involved with Sailor Moon now are targeting for the very niche audiences, kind of the anime subculture fans, not so much for mainstream, which is a shame, because Sailor Moon in general has massive awareness in the population in most countries worldwide, to be honest, most developed nations. Because it was huge in the 90s. Even if people didn't watch it, they were still aware of what Sailor Moon was, and they recognize the character when they see it. So there's definitely potential there, but unfortunately it is kind of being marketed for more niche subculture fan groups, which is a shame. So if it does get on TV, it will be on a cable network, I assume, like Cartoon Network, or maybe not even Cartoon Network, maybe another channel like that. Yeah, I doubt it would be on free-to-air TV for a long time to come. All right, now let's switch over to Facebook. Okay, so Bridget Galona, I hope I said your name right, sorry if I didn't, asked me, what are some things you like and dislike about the new English dub of the original anime regarding voice actors, DVD releases, etc.? I don't know, with me, I've said this before in a previous podcast, especially on the Mooney Tunes podcast with Sissin, where I think, I don't know, I still don't really see the reason behind an English redub. And for me, I'm a big fan of the 90s Sailor Moon anime. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good adaptation. Great voices, great music. Just a really enjoyable. I still watch it now. I still go back and rewatch it. Of course, I rewatch the Japanese anime too with English subtitles, sometimes even without subtitles. And I love both versions. But I think just, making a new English version causes a lot of confusion. They've also done it in such a way where it's very common now with new anime where they just go out of their way to make it so much like the original Japanese version, where it just comes across as quite, I don't know, awkward in the English, and it misses a lot of the humor. Yeah, I know, I have watched a lot of the new English dub of this new Sailor Moon that Viz is releasing, and the voice actors themselves, the actors, are good actors, but I know quite a few of them, they don't really match the roles too much. Sailor Moon's voice actor in particular, I'm sure she's a wonderful person in real life, but the voice that she's putting on for the role, it's like a Care Bear. It's super high-pitched and squeaky. It's she's trying so hard to imitate the Japanese voice actress, which is super high and squeaky in Japanese, but also a lot of female characters in Japanese, when they're talking Japanese, that's kind of how they sound like. But for an English-speaking schoolgirl character speaking English, it's very, very weird and very unnatural, and it's actually quite awkward to watch, in my opinion. And yeah, I don't know, a lot of the characters' voices, it's just, I don't know, I'm not a really big fan of them, to be honest. They also seem to be quite, some of them go out of their way to be so serious. I kind of wonder if the casting director or the voice director is trying so hard to be not like the 90s anime, that they're going out of the way to make it like the most serious and like Shakespearean kind of anime dub ever. But you have some characters which are so over the top and cartoony, like Usagi's voice actress. But then some of the other ones, like Luna, just sound like a normal person just talking very normal, sometimes even monotonous. Some of them even sound the same, where you look away from this TV screen and you think it's the same character talking, but then you look back and it's like it's switched and it's someone else. So yeah, not a really big fan. A lot of the Japanese names in this new English dub are being completely destroyed. Like Usagi is Wosagi, Motoki is Motoki, and yeah, Makoto is Makoto. It's yeah, it's not good. And we all saw this coming because most English actors don't know how to say the Japanese names. But it is a shame because it's a big franchise, and I would have thought that they would have tried to nail the character names, which you can just listen to in the Japanese version and copy that. Yeah, no, not a big fan of it, and I don't really see the point, to be honest. Even with the re-release of the Japanese version on, like, the streaming sites, it's, I have those on DVD, and I've watched them a million times. So when it came out, I was kind of like, well, that's cool, but I've already seen these episodes so many times, so I haven't really been watching them again on the streaming sites. And even, yeah, the new English dub, it's not really offering me anything new. It's, because the 90s English dub we had was so unique and such great, yeah, characters and music and voice actors. And you can watch it, and it's every episode has so many jokes, and it's really dynamic. And everyone, like all Sailor Moon fans who grew up with the English version, they can, like, remember all these hilarious one-liners from all the episodes, which are just, they crack everyone up. They're hilarious. With the new English dub, you watch it, and you're like, oh, that was good. And you're like, oh, I guess it was, like, closer to the Japanese. Yeah, not as fun and enjoyable as the 90s anime, if that makes sense. So if you're judging anime on how literally close it is to the Japanese version, it's a 5-star anime, I guess, except for the name pronunciation. But yeah, if you're looking for like an enjoyable representation of Sailor Moon, honestly, I prefer the 90s anime for English language version, which is still a classic in my book. And I think most people agree. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course, but you asked me what mine was, so that's mine. Oh, with the DVD releases, Bridget, yeah, I actually got them, and I'll be reviewing those very, very soon. I actually haven't had a chance to have too much of a look at them, and I will have a lot to say about those, I think, probably in the next episode of the podcast. Sailor Samara asks, what are your thoughts about the new Neo Queen Serenity wedding crown and the price? Honestly, the price for me is an issue. I'm not saying I have money, I'm going to buy it, but I'm actually not planning to buy it. This is kind of really expensive-looking wedding crown. For one, I'm a man, so I'm not really going to wear it. No offense to guys who want to wear a tiara on their wedding day. Yeah, I'm not going to probably use that, really. I'd buy it maybe as a collector. The price is like, yeah, it doesn't bother me because it is in that kind of elite, hyper-expensive collector's range of products. So they're not going to be selling this in Kmart and overpricing it. It's being targeted towards the, you know, the collectors who are used to spending lots of money on replicas and objects like this. Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool addition. I mean, it's obvious they're running out of ideas of Sailor Moon merchandise to release. I mean, we've got like Sailor Moon pads, we've got eye contact lenses now, they got everything under the moon. So it's only a matter of time before they released a tiara. It is a bit strange because Neo Queen Serenity is not really wearing that on her wedding day. I don't think she does anyway. So it's more like a queen's crown, but they're like, hey, wear it on your wedding, which is a little strange. But yeah, I know if you got the money, you're getting married, go for it. I know quite a few fans have been telling me they're going to get that for their upcoming wedding because it actually looks quite sophisticated. It looks really, really, it looks really great quality and would look right at home on a wedding day. And only Sailor Moon fans in the audience would know that that's like a Sailor Moon thing that you're wearing, which is my favorite type of fandom, where it's fashionable enough to wear in every day, but those who are in the know realize that it's to do with their fandom. But, yeah, what do you guys think about the new tiara? Matt Sass. He's full of sass. Sorry, you must get that a lot. Says, when do you think Sailor Moon Crystal will be released in the US on DVD? Do you think it will be as expensive as it is in Japan? What do you think the likelihood is that they will reboot the rest of the series? Okay, so it's been confirmed that it will be released in Japan. It will be released by Viz, and the English language version will have the same voice actors as the new dub of the 90s anime, which is, yeah, something I'm not too excited about. But it will be released. I'm not sure when exactly, because they now have divided it into seasons, and season one is now finished in Japan, streaming online, I mean. And I guess they're going to wait until all of the animation is redone, and those specific Blu-rays are out in Japan with the new animation, and then I guess an American Viz will get a hold of those copies, and then start their Western release with subtitles and voice actors and things like that. So I'm guessing by the end of 2015, we could potentially have the release of the first season of Sailor Moon Crystal, which is about, 13, 14 episodes or so. That's completely possible, and I think that'd be fantastic. They won't be as expensive as Japan. Those Sailor Moon Crystal Blu-rays, they're limited edition box sets. Even the regular ones are, I guess, more expensive than America. But they're very, America and Japan, very different economies. And just Japanese Blu-rays in general in Japan are always really ridiculously expensive and only have like 2 episodes per Blu-ray for like $80. So that's not really a Sailor Moon thing. It's like that's more of a Japan thing. I'm assuming you get like the box set in Japan with 14 episodes. I don't know. It could be anywhere from $30 up to $80 for like the whole first season of Sailor Moon Crystal. It really depends. And of course, they'll have limited edition box sets too. But yeah. I kind of met, there's no way it's going to be as expensive as Japan is. And, likelihood of rebooting the rest of the series, I'm assuming you mean, will they cover the other story arcs in Sailor Moon Crystal from, like, the rest of the manga or the third, fourth, fifth seasons of the 90s anime? And I think very, very likely. It's obviously, I think, getting more successful as it's going along, especially with the upcoming TV broadcast in Japan as well. I think it's pretty likely we're going to get the S Supers and Stars seasons in Crystal. I'd be very disappointed if we don't, but I think it's pretty likely, to be honest. And Van Dietz, again, I hope I said your name correctly, asks, why do you think Stars never came to the US? Was it too controversial, or did the Sailor Moon train run out of steam by that time? Honestly, I think a combination of both. I think the controversial thing is more like a fan theory. To be honest, I'll have to go back into my my database. But basically what we had with Sailor Moon in the West, we had the first season, and then we had like 2/3 of the second season. And that was, and we had some few episodes missed out, taken out, of course. And the main reason for that was a series run in the US at the time. Still, for most right now, is about 64 episodes. So they kind of cropped the second season and ended it on that the episode with the four sisters on the Rainbow Bridge fight scene with the black hole, because basically that was like the cutoff for the 64 episodes when they're marketing it to TV stations in the US and around the world. And that episode was like a kind of a good finale. And then to fit it into that 64 episode number and to finish on that episode, they had to take a few out from like the first season just to make it fit. So they cut off a lot of the fillers from like the very, very early episodes, which really didn't progress the story at all. They cut out the standalone Sailor V flashback episode, which is a great episode, and was just taken out, I guess, because it didn't progress the plot. And it wouldn't be missed overall in the overall story. And then, of course, they did the lost episodes for the rest of the second season, basically catch it up because Sailor Moon was popular. And then it stopped because we had the third and the fourth Sailor Moon series. And there was a lot of company back and forth then. I think the Deke company went under. And then that transitioned to Clover Way, which released third and fourth series after the three Sailor Moon movies, of course. So that happened. And to be honest, that was pretty risky for them because the Sailor Moon fandom had started to die down a lot by then. And by the end of Supers, the fourth season, it wasn't rating very, very well at all. And also by that time, the license was running out, which is why they really rushed out the third and fourth seasons, because the limit on America's rights to release the series was expiring very, very soon, which is why they thought we've got to release all this stuff now if we're going to. And I think probably releasing Stars in addition to the third and the fourth seasons would have really been pushing it. I don't think they had the time, to be honest, before the license ran out. But also another theory is that I've noticed just from living in Japan for the last 10 years, every time I see Sailor Stars, it's always mentioned as a separate series from the first four. It's always marketed as like Sailor Stars, not a season of Sailor Moon. So I think maybe the licensing could have been separate. for those reasons as well. So maybe it was more difficult for them to get Sailor Stars and release that as well. But I don't really think it was too controversial for them. I mean, to be honest, even when you watch it now, the nudity, of course, would have been an issue in the final fight scene. Yeah, there would have been ways around it, of course, with editing and even like the image manipulation, and like other countries did. And the whole like sex change thing with the Sailor Starlights, they don't actually change sex anyway. It's just they're just in disguise. They're disguised as male pop stars in costume. So again, that wouldn't have been an issue anyway. And I wish fans would stop saying it's they do sex change or they're transgender, because they're not. They're just doing like the moon power disguise, same as Sailor Venus and Sailor Moon do. So yeah, nothing too crazy, to be honest. But yeah, I think it was just more to do with timing and licensing, really, than anything else. I think, yeah, that's why we didn't get it originally. Okay, we've got two last questions from the Facebook page. Calito Ramos asks, what would you have changed in the first arc of Sailor Moon Crystal? Well, the animation, to be honest. But story-wise, I can't really think of too much. I was actually pretty happy with all of it. I think it would have been nice to have a few character episodes. I know they were doing episode by episode to mirror the acts in the manga, but it would have been nice to have a few more space for characters, to have a few character moments and evolve as characters, which we didn't really get too much of at all in the manga and in Sailor Crystal. So that would have been nice. I think it would have been good maybe to have some maybe Sailor V flashbacks as well. And also there was Rei's grandfather made no appearance at all in this, which is disappointing because he is in the manga. But the whole, there's so much to cram into Sailor Master's episode that he got cut completely from Sailor Moon Crystal. So that would have been good to have him back in there. Yeah, that's really, I'm actually pretty happy with it in general. But yeah, the animation, Rei's grandfather, and maybe some more character moments would have been nice. But overall, I thought the plot was very, very well done. And last question we have from Michael Sylvester Wong. What's your most memorable moment or event to have ever occurred in Sailor Moon? Be it in the manga, the original anime series in either language, Sailor Moon Crystal, Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, the live-action show, or even any of the various video games. For me, it was always the battle between the Sailor Scouts and the Spectre Sisters, because we learn so much more about Rini and her past, and we also see Serena's maternal instincts begin to awaken as she is willing to die for this little girl that she knows very little about. So, So I guess my most memorable would be, well, I guess life-defining moment would be when I saw the first Sailor Moon musical when I first came to Japan about 10 years ago. It was the second last musical, and that blew me away because I hadn't seen any online or in videos or anything before. So that was my first experience seeing a Sailor Moon musical, and seeing them live is amazing. Yeah, it was a really, really incredible, memorable experience. In the media-wise, I guess I'll always remember my first episode of the Sailor Moon 90s anime, which was, what was it called? Dolly something. Dangerous Dollies, maybe? Which has the dolls where Sammy's girlfriend was, like, painting. And, yeah, that was the first episode of Sailor Moon I saw. It was on Agro's Cartoon Connection, which was this children's show in Australia. And that was fantastic. And the last shot with Sailor Moon standing behind the curtain and Mercury's visor visuals, those two things were kind of what sold the series for me. And then I think I missed a few episodes, and the next one I saw was Sailor V Makes the Scene, where Sailor Venus arrives. And then, of course, that's a really thrilling episode, so that kind of, like, locked me in for good, and that's when I started watching every single week. Something also I guess made an impact was the live-action show, because that's when I got to see, when I first moved to Japan, it was on TV in my first year in Japan, so I could see it on TV. I think Saturday mornings was when it was on, and that was great. I really, really liked that, and seeing it live with the Japanese commercials was an amazing experience. Also, spoilers, in one of the final few episodes, when one of the characters dies, that was a really, really powerful episode. I admit to crying when it had that shot of the CD on the table. And acting all, or in particular, Keiko Kitagawa, Sailor Mars, her acting in general in the whole show was amazing. But in that episode, it was just brilliant, really, really strong. And then I guess the final act of the live-action TV show too which is some fantastic acting between Tuxedo Mask and Sailor Moon when they're in that kind of limbo space. And that's when it kind of took the show to a new level in the final episode, when they all got their weapons as well. That was cool. So that show really, really is, I get more out of that every time I rewatch it. The first time I saw that show, I wasn't really a big fan, but the more I rewatched the live-action Sailor Moon show, the more and more I appreciate it and get more out of it. Yeah, those are, I guess, my most memorable moments watching Sailor Moon. Yeah, so that's about it, really. Yeah, Sailor Moon, lots of memories, lots and lots of memories. I could go on, but I won't, because I'm trying to keep this under 10 minutes, this podcast, and as usual, it's stretching out to like half an hour or so. So, anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Again, this was a kind of an unusual episode where I just wanted to reflect on Sailor Moon Crystal, about 14 episodes or so worth, and also answer a few questions from you guys. Stay tuned for next week's episode, which I'll again go back into the regular, of course, maybe some quick, well, no reflections of Sailor Moon Crystal, because the next episode of Sailor Moon Crystal is next month, February. So yeah, the next episode, I'll be recapping all of the week's news in Sailor Moon merchandise news and series news, manga news, anime news, even musical news. Hopefully we'll get another musical this year in Tokyo, which I'll definitely go back for. Stay tuned for all that. And yeah, so please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Stitcher is an amazing app. I recommend that if you're really into podcasts. And yeah, please leave a review as well. Positive reviews, of course, are preferred. And thanks very much, guys. And that's it for now. So thanks very much, and I'll see you next time. Bye.